Hello out there. This is Pamela Fagan Hutchins, and you are either on purpose or accidentally watching another episode of Wine, Women, and Writing. And this is the show where I talk with other authors about their books, especially their books with great female characters like I'm going to do today, female characters that are authentic, complex, infuriating, heartbreaking, and all the things that we like in our girlfriends and in our fictional characters. And I would be remiss if I did not do that, which I am sworn to always do, which is to tell you that this is a copyrighted and solely owned production of Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Thank you to Pam Stack, producer extraordinaire. There, I've done it. And now we can go about our business. And the last thing I'll tell you before we get started today, guys, is I wanted to thank you. We are going into the third month at about 1,500 on Amazon with Switchback. And all three of the books in the series now are in the top 5,000. And that, frankly, has never happened to me before. So thank you for that, because it's an accident. And the newest is called Sawbones. If you want to catch it, it's a really fast moving family drama slash mystery set in 1976 in Wyoming, if that's your jam. And you can get it on Kindle Unlimited. Okay, here we go. Today, I'm super excited to bring onto the show Julie Moffett. Julie has a new release this week called No Questions Asked. It's the 12th book in her Lexi Carmichael series with a beautiful cover. And welcome to the show, Julie. It's great to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think that it will. So where are you social distancing from today? Because we're doing this show right smack in the middle of COVID-19, if you're listening to this 6 months from now.
Yes. Yes. So little did I know that my book would be released right in the middle of all of this. And it just so happens that actually the book involves a vaccine. So it was completely coincidental, but that's what happened. So, so I'm in Northern Virginia, which is a hop skipping away from Washington, D.C. So I'm here with my youngest son, who is in seventh grade, and my older son, who is working in a hardware store, so considered essential. So he has to be out working, but my youngest is out of school. And so I'm also a former teacher, so luckily able to homeschool. He called me yesterday a hard teacher, so I think I'm doing something right.
Oh, man. I'm impressed. So you're not curled up with a coffee cup full of vodka crying right now. You're
experienced. No, and actually I have a full-time day job, which I'm still also essential. I work for a defense company, so I'm still working full-time at home as well as homeschooling and writing books. So it's still same old for me.
Isn't it the truth? And it's just same old, but let's shove in an extra. you've got strong shoulders, right?
That's right.
Well, what a fun coincidence in an awful way that you've got a vaccine issue in your new book. Tell us about your latest Lexi Carmichael.
Well, for those of you who do not know who Lexi Carmichael is, what the series is, it's a series about a young woman who is a female hacker. And she, when the series starts, she's working for the National Security Agency, and then she ends up going to a private company where she works from there. And the books, they are a mystery with a lot of intrigue and travel. So there's a lot of action with a little dash of romance. And a lot of travel, and I go to different places all over the world. This time, this story, No Questions Asked, it takes place in the Brazilian rainforest, where Lexi is on the IT staff in the field trying to protect sensitive data on a vaccine that's being developed. And so then all kinds of things happen to her while she's there, including spiders and snakes and bad guys.
Spiders and snakes are bad guys in my book.
And bad guys alone. Okay. And with the bad guys.
That's so much fun. I'm so in love with her being a hacker chick. One of my daughters is getting her PhD in computer science right now. So we're like,
nice.
Hacker chicks, yes.
Well, here you go. So here's the geek girl's rule. That's my little hat that I wear on my, I have a profile picture with my geek hat on it. Oh, whoops, wrong way. There we go.
It's awesome. I saw that picture on Amazon and I thought, oh my God, that is so cute.
Yeah.
So
it's funny because when I wrote this book, it's I actually wrote the book around, I guess it was around 2004. I wrote the first book in the series called No One Lives Twice. And I had a publisher at the time. I was writing books. I was writing a different genre. I was writing romance, straight up romance. And I actually had, my editor was Kate Duffy over at Kensington. If so, for the old timers that might know of Kate. Anyway, so I told her I wrote this book about a female hacker. And it's a mystery and kind of an adventure. And so she read the book and she loved it. And she sent it over to marketing. And they came back and said, we don't think anybody wants to read about a female hacker. No, no. So I couldn't sell it. It went into a drawer, the proverbial drawer, because nobody wanted to read about a female hacker. And now 12 books later, yeah, I think maybe somebody does. So I'm glad I
knew that. The muse found you. Now, so, okay. So are you a geek hacker type yourself?
I'm actually in a family of geeks. Like my entire family are geeks. I am the writer kind of, but my brother is a geek and my sister is a geek. She's also a writer, but she's also a geek. And she's a geophysicist. And my brother his nephew works for Google. He was like the one where they actually chased after him to get him and, you know, please come to us, you know, and we'll pay you $1 million and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, so my nephew works for Google. His wife is from MIT and she's also a computer. She worked for Yahoo. So like when they got married, we had Google marries Yahoo, yay, on the back of the car, on their car. but yeah, so I have rich material to draw on from my own family. And it's just wonderful because I just obviously I come from a family of geeks. So I have a lot of affection and I know a lot of the things that make it funny because I live it. So I was able to, I think, authentically incorporate those things into my book. And a lot of people enjoy that about that. So
I think that's great. And you've got people there that can kick the tires for you when you come across some new concept. Yeah. Tell me what's new and happening for my books, you know?
Yeah.
Do they come to you with story ideas now?
Yeah, sometimes I go, I mean, a lot of times I go to them, but sometimes I'll say like, you know, hit me up with what's happening, you know, or this and that, what's new in the field. And so sometimes I get ideas from that. Actually, one of the books I wrote, I think it was book 8 in the series, featured a story with Chinese hackers. And it was right before that huge thing hit. So the book came out and like 2 months later, the Chinese hacker thing came out and everybody was like emailing me, did you have inside news? And I'm like, no, it just, you know, that's the job of the author to play what if, you know? So exactly. Yeah. But also like if I need help, so like in a couple of books, I'm like, I really need to be able to do this, you know, technologically, how do I do this? You know, and then they'll come up with some really fun ideas for, you know, how to make it work so that it's genuine, you know, that it actually
works. Yeah. For those of you that are watching, we were warned before we went forward with this today that because everyone is hogging the internet on quarantine time, that we might experience some sunspots. So if every now and then we like freeze or do a weird face like splitting thing, you hang with us because it's not our fault.
I swear.
The internet is stressed out about coronavirus. So now, just on the what if thing, we were talking at dinner the other night and we were like, you know, it's scary to think of our vulnerability right now because everyone is already rattled. And if I was like a super hacker or something, now's when I would do my dirty work. You know, I would unleash some kind of weirdness on the world or send some electric pulse that knocked down our internet so that everybody would be at home freaking out. Now, I would never do that because I'm not evil. But the possibilities for this kind of book, you know, are just this field is just so much fun. So how many more are in your mind and do you have rolling out and planned? Are you going to keep writing, Lexi?
Yeah, I will. I'm taking a little bit of a break right now. I have one more. I also have a young adult hacker series. which is a spin-off from this series. It's the White Knight series. So this is for teens. It features a young girl that I introduced in the Lexi series. She's the younger sister of one of the characters. And she has a spin-off books that she's in. She's also a hacker. And in a funny twist, she created a fan club for Lexi among her peers. For, you know, the younger women generation looking up to a little bit older generation of women hackers. So, and of course, Lexi is just appalled by that concept, but it makes for some funny, but I also have that series, and I have, right now, there's two books in the series. I have one more to write in that series, I want to continue to write both of them, but I'm a little overwhelmed at the moment with the COVID and everything going on right now, that it's just sure when I'm going to finish one up and get started on the next Lexi. But I'm going to try to I intend to continue at some point. So
yeah, it's funny because I thought, wow, this is going to be great writing time. You know, it's just really, things will slow down. And we were talking before we went on the air that in many cases, that's not how it is. You know, you're trying to cram your day job into homeschooling and your writing life too, and it gets a little busy.
And stressful too. You know, it's hard to concentrate these days a little bit. So, you know, I'm like everybody else, I kind of want to get lost in something else than work.
So, oh, exactly. Yeah, it is crazy. We were laughing about, you know, the cruddy connection, the internet, but I mean, man, Netflix must be like, you know, put some more hamsters on the wheel. Keep these is going.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And so with respect to your international angle to the books, I was shamelessly stalking you earlier, and I was noticing that you've been pretty well traveled, you're multilingual. So this international angle, it sounds a little Julie in these books.
Well, technically, when I actually come from an Air Force family, so I'm a military brat, and we've lived all over the world. I went to high school in Japan, Okinawa to be exact. Yay, Okinawa. And so I've always traveled. We've traveled all the time. That's just sort of my life. I spent a year at the University of Warsaw in Poland, and it was, I'm dating myself now, it was during the Cold War. So I was behind the Iron Curtain. So I had lots and lots of adventures there. And actually, when I was a sophomore in college, I was by the CIA to be a Russian linguist and work in Russian, well, at the time it was Soviet, of course, Soviet affairs. So I actually worked with the CIA, a handler, until I was in graduate school, when I just changed my mind and decided instead of CIA work, I was going to do international journalism. So I was actually a broadcast journalist for 11, 12 years at Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty in Washington, D.C. So that's where I worked there. So so a lot of the spy and international and travel and stuff, that comes from a kind of my own knowledge, and you know, a lot of it comes from imagination as well, but you know, but the foundation is there, I guess. So yeah,
you've got plenty of stories to start that what if process in your brain.
Always. Yes.
How fun. And so at the last second, the CIA didn't sound like the way you wanted to go. What made you think, I don't want to be a spy?
It was the lie detector test. To be completely honest, it was so painful. And also the restrictions on travel. So the thing was, is I was in graduate school at the time. I was at George Washington University. And at the time, and I think they still have it now, there's a consortium that you can take. If you're at GW or Georgetown, you can take classes at both. So back then, I wanted to go to Georgetown, but I could really only afford to go to George Washington. So I went to George Washington University, but took a lot of my classes at Georgetown. And there I met one of my professors there, who recommended me for an internship in Munich, Germany, at the time, to work with Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, with the Russian Broadcasting Service, where I would be writing articles in English and translating them in Russian, and then having the staff use them on air for programs. And so that was the summer I was supposed to go to the CIA to start working in their political profiling department. But I hadn't decided what I was going to do yet, but then I had to go through this lie detector test, and then it was like 8 hours. It was insane. And then you know, in every part of your life, just examined and exposed, and it was hard. You know, I mean, I have a lot of respect for those that work at the CIA and actually have friends that work there, but you know, it for me, it was just, and then also, you know, I couldn't travel. I had travel bans, you know, restrictions and all this. And I just said, you know, I'm going to try this other opportunity. So that's what I ended up doing. And it worked out great for me. It was wonderful to work at the radio. I loved it. So it was fantastic. So it worked out great for me. But I did have that deep experience, you know, almost joining the CIA. So I learned a lot at that time as well, which I could
I think that's the coolest story. And I'm just up that it was the lie detector test. It's like,
you know, right? Well, that probably wasn't only it, but that was like the
the straw that broke
the straw. Yeah, I was like,
oh my gosh. And so when was it that you started thinking fiction? Can you guys hear that noise? That's my Boston Terrier drinking.
I do hear that.
What is he doing? Anyway, getting real here. When was it that you took this, what was already a pretty exciting life, and decided that you wanted to go into made up stories instead of the reporting the real stories?
Well, I'd always wanted to write stories. I mean, I always say that my first bestseller was in the second grade. I wrote a story about Prince Valen and Princess Tina, and she saved him from choking on a piece of candy. And so he married her and took her to his castle on Valentine's Day. That's why it's called Valentina, Valentine's, you know.
Oh, very good.
I illustrated it, wrote it, and I sold it for a penny a read on the playground. And the girls, I thought it was exciting, and the boys all said, ew. And, I would say that was my first bestseller.
So
I've always wanted to do that. And so actually what prompted me though was my 10-year high school reunion. There was a questionnaire, and at the end it said, what haven't you accomplished in the 10 years since you graduated high school? And I wrote, write a book. And then when it was on paper and it was looking at me, I said, oh my God, I haven't written a book. So I decided I was going to do it, and I wrote a book.
And the rest is history. And really, Lexi Carmichael, as deep and wide as the series is, and the White Knights adding to it, you know, expanded, it doesn't even begin to touch everything you've written. For true Julie Moffett fans, this goes multi-genre, you know, paranormal romance, right?
Yeah.
And straight up historical romance. Mm-hmm. A kind of almost women's fiction with your sister, right? A story about three women, or was that a romance?
That was actually the paranormal historical romance with my sister.
And there you go. I can't even keep up with these genres, woman.
Sorry about that. Hold on for a second. Do you hear that noise? My phone is not. It's on silent, but it rings on my computer, and I don't know how to shut it off. Sorry about that.
No, when I first started doing podcasts, it isn't until you start using your computer with something like a Facebook Live that you realize how many opportunities it is for the dang thing to make noise at you. It's probably what it is. If they're like mine, they will keep calling till you.
I don't know why I put the phone on. I don't know how it's connected into my computer. I'm so embarrassed. I'm sorry.
The screen is good enough for you to tell that she is truly and actually does. She blushes. You turn an actual beautiful.
That's the problem about being fair skinned, is that you can't fake the blood. I mean, it's just there and it's
dry. No, that would be a problem in the CIA too.
Yes, it would. I would have been terrible at lying. You know, everybody would see the, you know, the redness in the seat or whatever.
But, no. But I'm going to say right now, people are like, yeah, I believe her when she says she's not the techno geek in the family. Right now.
I'm not the one. I just write about them, right? It's just like the guy who plays the doctor on TV. I'm not a doctor. I just play a doctor.
Because they tell you you're supposed to write what you know. But the thing is that what most writers know is, number one, they know how to write. And they're an expert at the people and the places, the cultures, and et cetera, that they've been in. But you've got to be able to write a complete world with all the different types of people and jobs and settings and stuff. And so you finally find something that interests you and you're like, well, that isn't necessarily what I know best, but I know everything about how to get into that world best. And you become the expert in, in the world. I think it's so cool that you've got all the geeks in your family, because right now I'm writing basically wilderness adventure. I wrote a series inspired by my dad, and I have to go to him and I'm like, you know, I don't know anything about the equipment. I don't, you know, et cetera. But you learn that you can write anything that you become an expert in. So it's a fun, we get to try on a lot of different hats.
We really do. That's the best part about being a writer.
It truly is. And you get to immerse in that world too. So in our minds, we can be the super geek. And in fact, you guys, I am not a super geek either, and I am super excited about the Lexi Carmichael series and can't wait to show it to my daughter too. I'm always looking for examples for her about these are STEM women. These are women in STEM out there ruling the world and ruling the best-selling charts and being in these books. So now with the way the world is right now, you're kind of limited in what you can do. With this being any kind of big splashy release, you're kind of homebound. It's kind of like, hello out there, my book is out, but no events, none of the normal hoopla. So do you enjoy that kind of thing? Or are you more of a introvert wanting to not do with the crowds person?
I'm actually an extrovert, which is very unusual for writers because most writers are introverts, but I love to go out. I love to go to conferences. I love to go to reader events. I love to, you know, be really super active on my readers group. I have a Facebook readers group that I'm in every day. It's really fun. I just really like to interact with people. And now more than ever, it's so important, like, to feel connected. So, I really enjoy that. So for me, this, social isolation is tough. Even though I work from home anyway, I like to go out and be out. So it's really hard for me to stay in. Whereas like for some introverts, it's like, I've been waiting for this all my life. So
even at that, it's like, I'm home most of the time. You know, I work from home and I consider myself an introvert that does fine around other people, but retreats for rejuvenation. But I hadn't realized how much I counted on that when my husband comes home at the end of the week, it's like, take me out, take me somewhere, anywhere but here. And now it's like, no.
No, you're stuck. You're not going anywhere. No.
We're lucky because we live out in the country and at least I can go out and walk and stuff. I don't have to worry about being around people. But it turns out I like people a little more than I thought. Just
See, you learned something. You learned something.
Exactly. Exactly. So I hope this book just tears it up for you. And I appreciate you coming on the show, especially Julie and I talked beforehand about technology may not be 100% our friend. We're going to do this anyway because Lexi has a release this week.
Right.
That's right. So we're going to do it. And we appreciate all of you guys out there and hope that you're well. Stay apart, stay well, and go out there and get you a good book. I promise it'll help carry you away. It's what I'm doing.
You do.
That, and I think alcohol sales are up from what I'm just saying.
With the homeschooling, it helps. No, I'm kidding.
Thanks a ton for being on the show. And you guys, I'll see you for next episode. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.